Wednesday, August 2nd, 2023. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you, your friends, your family, everyone in your world is staying strong and you're staying healthy right now. And yes, kids, we have reached the month of August. It's kind of exciting. I mean, we have a few more weeks to go, but football season is coming. Of course, August does also kind of mean the summer is winding down. If you haven't been out enough, not enjoying that sunshine enough, that warm weather enough, you better do it soon. Because we know here in another month, 2 months, things are going to start changing very, very quickly. Now, NFL training camps are, of course, underway. And you just kind of hope at this time of year, just don't let us have any bad injury news. And we've already had some teams get some of that bad news. Going to talk about that in a few minutes. But I got some news for you here that you might not know. Might have slipped under your radar a little bit. Do you realize that we already have a NFL preseason game tomorrow night? Yes, the New York Jets will be facing the Cleveland Browns in the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio tomorrow night. Now, we do have 9 new inductees going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year. And I got to be honest about this. Now, you know, if you listen to The Dose, I think that Major League Baseball gets a lot wrong with their Hall of Fame voting process. But I will give baseball this. If you get voted in, not always, but usually, you deserve it. Baseball voters are way more selective with their Hall of Fame voting. Whereas, I hate to say this, but it's kind of starting to feel like the Pro Football Hall of Fame is turning slowly into the Hall of Very Good, not the Hall of the Best. As some proof, here are the 9 inductees that are going in this weekend. Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive back Rondé Barber. Hey, he was good. Barber is the franchise's all-time leader in interceptions. He had 47. He also had 12 defensive touchdowns, and he spent all 16 years in Tampa Bay. Pretty good career. Is he one of the greatest ever? I don't know. Darrell Revis, who was the preeminent cornerback of his generation. Hey, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Revis was a 4-time first team All-Pro. He was on one of the toughest defenses of his era. The Rex Ryan-led New York Jets of the 2010s, they're pretty good. Yeah, I would say Revis belongs. He's one of the best. Cleveland Browns offensive tackle Joe Thomas is going into Canton. Thomas, of course, was the 3rd overall pick back in 2007. He started 167 straight games for the Browns at left tackle. He made 10 Pro Bowls. He earned 6 first-team All-Pro honors. Very solid. Would you say he's one of the greatest offensive tackles ever? I don't know. But very, very good. Hallworthy? I don't know. I guess today he is. Miami Dolphins linebacker Zach Thomas got in. Now, I remember Zach Thomas, and I remember him being very good. Could I name a single play from his career? No, probably not. DeMarcus Ware was one of the best pass rushers of his era. Ware had to wait just 2 years before he gets into the Hall of Fame. The former Dallas Cowboy and Denver Broncos standout was a 9-time Pro Bowler. Hey, DeMarcus Ware was very, very good. Next guy up, this guy should have been in about 20 years ago. Don Coryell was the architect of one of the game's most famous offenses. Of course, Coryell passed away back in 2010, but he built the Air Coryell offense in San Diego with Dan Fouts as his quarterback. But you know, people tend to forget, Don Coryell also had the St. Louis Cardinals scoring some points too. That was with quarterback Jim Hart. Hardly, you know, a Dan Fouts kind of guy. Air Coryell should make the Hall of Fame just for doing that with the Cardinals alone. That's pretty impressive. Dallas Cowboys linebacker Chuck Howley is getting in. Howley is the only player to get the Super Bowl MVP in a losing effort. He was a six-time Pro Bowler. Again, greatest ever? I'm not sure. He's very, very good, though. Joe Klecko was a member of the New York Jets sack exchange. Klecko, who along with Jets teammates Mark Gastineau, Marty Lyons, and Abdul Salam terrorized quarterbacks in the 1980s. Very good player. Finally, we have Ken Riley, one of the great original Cincinnati Bengals, and Riley is finally a Hall of Famer. But here's another one that has been a long time coming. And of course, Ken Riley has already passed away too. Okay, so out of those nine getting in, we have three or four that you would truly think of as maybe one of the best. Meanwhile, we have guys like Randy Gradishar, Lester Hayes, Jim Marshall, Kenny Anderson, Randall Cunningham. They're still waiting. I don't know. It seems to me like the Pro Football Hall of Fame might be getting a little mixed up. I don't know if they have just senile voters. I don't know what's going on there, but it seems like they're getting a lot of things wrong. But hey, I will still tune in for the Hall of Fame game tomorrow night, at least for a few minutes, right? In fact, I'm going to make a few predictions for the Hall of Fame game tomorrow. First off, I'll predict we probably won't see many starters. I know that's not really going too far outside of what we normally see. And I haven't looked at the weather forecast, but I will predict that the game will probably be suspended at least for a while for lightning because it's back in Ohio. It seems like it always does. I will predict that the turf in Canton will be terrible again because it always is. And I will make one final prediction for the Pro Football Hall of Fame game tomorrow in Canton, Ohio. And that is that most of us will turn it on and watch a series, maybe two, and then realize, hey, this is terrible. It's like watching the USFL or something. Like, I have other things to do. I'll just flip it over and watch, I don't know, reruns of Hard Knocks or South Park or something. But this is not very fun to watch. And we know that's true. We know most of these predictions I just made are probably going to come true. But hey, at least that football season is coming. And for that, I am very, very grateful. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, be sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. If you went over there yesterday, you saw that I posted an article about Denver Broncos head coach Sean Payton making some comments to the media this week. My goodness, dude took some people to task. And we have a commentary on that over at DailyDoseSports.com. But we have links to the podcast as well. We have links to the YouTube video. And yes, we have links to Daily Dose gear. If you need a new t-shirt, sweatshirt, hoodie, I don't know, maybe even a coffee mug, go over to DailyDoseSports.com and you will find what you need. Make sure you're stopping in there each and every week. Today on the show, like we talked about, we are closing in on the football season. It is coming very, very quickly. And you might not realize this, but there are a number of teams, both college and pro teams, that are still trying to find their starting quarterback. And I'm not talking about like garbage teams. I'm talking about legit big time contenders. And they still have some serious questions about that position. Plus, we do have a Daily Dose top five for you today. You know, NFL running backs have been really, really upset lately for the lack of big contracts that they're getting. We will talk about why they are struggling to get those big deals in our Daily Dose top five today. But first, we do have some things coming out in the world of sports news. And let's start off in Major League Baseball, where we've been wondering who would be buying and who would be selling at the MLB trade deadline. And we got a bit of a surprise over the weekend. Remember when the New York Mets signed pitcher Max Scherzer to a three-year deal worth $43 million per year? Hey, they already had Justin Verlander. The Mets are going to be a contender. Well, it hasn't exactly worked out that way. Over the weekend, the Mets just admitted they failed and began pulling the plug on their season. The Mets have now traded Max Scherzer to the Texas Rangers, who were in need of another postseason pitcher. And if he's good, Scherzer gives them a bit of an ace in the postseason. Now, the Mets did get a pretty solid haul in return. But hey, you are still having to admit your failure here. And it is a failure. It just wasn't working out. Despite some good stats, Max Scherzer has been roughed up in most of the important starts that he has had for the Mets. His ERA is over 4 this year. And as a result, it kind of forced their hand. They kind of just had to bite the bullet and say, hey, we're going to move forward. We're going to try to figure this thing out. The Mets right now are a few games under 500. And now they have to try to convince that fan base, hey, we're figuring this out. We're going to take those pieces we got in the trade. We're going to make this a better team. Meanwhile, think of what Max Scherzer has done. He was with the Washington Nationals. They traded him away. They are still paying him $15 million this season. The New York Mets got him. They trade him away. They still have to pay him $28 million for this year. And now the Texas Rangers get him, and they will owe him another $15 million for this year. Hey, Scherzer can be a very good pitcher. He can also be a bit of a jerk. Who says being a huge jerk doesn't pay off? But imagine this. Imagine next year when the Rangers have both Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom probably pitching in their triple A league next year. Hey, the Rangers, I don't know if they're going to make a deep run in the postseason this year, but I promise you, their triple A team next year, if Scherzer and DeGrom both have to go down and battle their way back up, they are going to be loaded down at that level. Make sure you get some of those tickets. And you know what's crazy is the Mets weren't done. They have also now traded Verlander back to the Houston Astros, who have also been looking to beef up their rotation in hopes of securing that third championship with them together. The Astros reached an agreement yesterday with the Mets to reacquire Verlander, which brings the reigning American League Cy Young Award winner back to Houston. Remember now, Verlander is 40, and he returned from Tommy John surgery to get his third Cy Young just last year. And then he helped lead those Astros to their second World Series title in 6 years. So, I mean, the biggest deals at the deadline were made by the Mets as a seller and by the Rangers and the Astros as buyers to basically battle each other. Hey, the last stretch of the season is going to be really, really fun to watch. Like we said, NFL training camps are now open, and we have already seen some big things happening. They're not big things that are good things. There's been some big news that hasn't exactly been all that good. The Miami Dolphins have lost cornerback Jalen Ramsey to a torn meniscus. They say he will be out 6 to 8 weeks and that he will miss the start of the season. In fact, they had to go get free agent Eli Apple to take his spot. Can you imagine that? I can't wait to see Eli Apple and Tyreek Hill just going full on rumble in practice. That is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I hope we get some film of that. Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow went down last week with what they are calling a calf injury. They say he will miss several weeks. And like I mentioned, Denver Broncos head coach Sean Payton went full scorched earth on the previous regime here in Denver. You can go read about that over at DailyDoseSports.com if you wish. But maybe the most concerning story coming out over this past week in the NFL as training camps have gotten going is in Indianapolis, where Colts running back Jonathan Taylor says he wants to be traded. I don't know who saw this coming. Taylor says he would like to be traded to a team that is going to build their offense around the running back position. So apparently he wants to be traded to the 1997 Denver Broncos? I don't know what he thinks he's doing here. But as crazy as that is, that Taylor wants to be traded, was the reaction of Colts owner and resident crazy person Jim Irsay. We know Jimmy's had some problems. He's kind of a weird guy. Upon hearing that his star running back had formally requested a trade, Irsay launched this deranged statement. If I die tonight and Jonathan Taylor is out of the league, No one's going to miss us. The league goes on. We know that. The NFL rolls on. It doesn't matter who comes and who goes, and it's a privilege to be a part of it. What in the world is he talking about? Does anyone know? I have no idea. I thought he would come out and say, hey, we want Jonathan here. We're going to figure this out. We're going to get him paid. We're going to make him happy. Hey, he's not going anywhere. We trust this guy. We love this guy. We want him back. I don't have a clue what he's even talking about here. If I die tonight and Jonathan Taylor is out of the league, no one's going to miss it. What is he talking? I have no idea. And I know what you're thinking right now, Daily Dose listener. You're thinking that because of Jim Irsay's past, maybe he's using drugs again. And you know what? You're probably right. Moving over to the world of college sports, the University of Colorado has decided that leaving the Pac-12 for the Big 12 is the best move forward for their university. After the board of directors approved the move to the conference, Colorado officials are formally applying for membership in the Big 12, and they say that's going to be accepted by that conference. The decision to move out of the Pac-12 has been brewing for quite a while. I mean, after joining that conference back in 2011, the moves of USC and UCLA have kind of set off a bit of a bomb going off in that conference. It's a little bit of a mess. And they still don't have a television deal in place. And that's after almost a year of trying to find a new television deal, and they're not making any headway, it doesn't sound like. And the problem is, without that TV deal, no one knows what they're getting paid. So when you're looking around and you're saying USC is leaving, UCLA is leaving, okay, well, what's our deal? How much money are we going to make? Yeah, we don't know. Well, yeah, you kind of don't have much of a choice, do you? You've got to go try to find a new deal. And right now, the Big 12 has kind of found a spot in college athletics where, okay, we're not the Big Ten, we're not the SEC, but we're kind of right behind those conferences. And that's not the worst place to be right now. And then there is, again, the financial aspect of all this, with Colorado officials feeling, hey, the Big 12 at least gives us some stability. With the Pac-12 right now, we have no idea what to expect because we don't even have a TV deal in place. And the TV deal in the Big 12 is pretty solid. They're going to get about $30 million, $32 million from the Big 12 just in that revenue sharing from the TV deal. Hey, that's guaranteed money, which right now the Pac-12 just doesn't have. And we've talked about it here on the Dose. For the past few months, Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliakoff has tried to spin that, yeah, we haven't announced our deal yet, but we have a lot of wheels in motion. A lot of things are taking place. We are going to get a deal done. So don't worry. No, I'm worried. I'm really, really worried. Especially if I'm someone like Colorado. I need that money. Because I hate to tell everyone, they signed up to pay Deion Sanders a ton of money that they don't even have yet. So they need that money badly. Well, when the commissioner just keeps kind of putting you off and, yeah, something's coming. Don't worry. Something's coming down the road. You kind of start getting nervous. And I think that's what happened with the University of Colorado. They sat around. They bit their tongue for a number of weeks. They didn't want to say anything. And now it is just kind of boiled over. And they're like, hey, nothing's happening. We're not hearing anything about a new TV deal for the Pac-12. We're jumping ship. We're going to leave and we're going to go get guaranteed money. Understandable. I don't think it was a overnight situation, but I think they kind of had to make a move. So now the Colorado Buffaloes will be out, and it's coming quick. It's coming already next season. And that's really bad news for the future of the Pac-12 conference, because it sounds like the Oregon Ducks could be next. That would be really, really big if that happens. You're losing a staple at that point. And that is a team in Oregon that can compete every single year. They've kind of proven that over the last few decades. They are a bit of a big dog, especially on the western side of the nation. With USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, yeah, Oregon's definitely in the hunt as one of the big dogs. I'll be surprised if they don't go after a Stanford or a Washington next. I think those things are coming. And I think the Pac-12 is in some serious, serious trouble. However, the move to the Big 12 might not be as great of news for Colorado as a lot of Colorado fans might think that it is. Here's my concern. The move to super conferences right now is kind of what we're looking at. We are seeing the SEC. We are seeing the Big Ten. I guess you can throw the ACC in there, and we're seeing the Big 12, and they are forming four, and maybe we end up with five big super conferences, 20 teams in each, and they are going to make up our college football national championship pretty much every year. I think eventually they break off from the NCAA and they just go do their own thing. I think that is coming, and it's coming soon. Here's the problem for Colorado. While major super conferences want to get a footprint into places like California and Texas and Florida because they know the recruiting base is there, the state of Colorado doesn't have that draw. I hate to say that, but it just doesn't. If this turns into, hey, we're going to take the top 50 or 60 teams in college football and everyone else, we're not really that worried about you, that's not going to be good news for my home state. Because I don't think any school from the state of Colorado is consistently a top 50 to 60 school. And I know what people are thinking. Well, Deion Sanders is going to change all that. And maybe he does. But how long does he stay? And when he leaves, does it slide back down to 70, 80? If that's the case, yeah, we'll be back to playing intramurals, brother.
Go play intramurals, brother. Go play intramurals.
That isn't going to be good news for the state of Colorado. By the way, it is sounding like the Pac-12's TV deal is actually going to be with Apple TV, which, based on their number of total subscribers, means it's going to be worth about, I don't know, 18, 19 bucks. Not a good situation for the Pac-12 at all. One final story to touch in, and I shouldn't even cover this. I feel like lately we've been talking way too much about ESPN, but I gotta throw this out because you might not have heard this, and trust me, it will blow your mind. You probably missed this, honestly. But did you know that our favorite worldwide leader in sports actually is testing an all-female sports center each week on Thursday nights? I'm not even joking about this. Women will make up the entire on-air and behind-the-scenes staff. The network says the test is an opportunity to spotlight women's sports and focus less on male sports. Yeah. With the NFL and college football coming, that's exactly what we were hoping for. I was really hoping, with the NFL season coming, with college football coming, maybe you could show a few more WNBA highlights. I was really hoping for that. Yeah, that's what we want every year. NFL training camp start. Oh, is there any way we could get some women cycling? I'd really enjoy seeing that. Honestly, I hate to even bring this up. I swear I do. But ESPN is no longer in the business of even trying to give sports fans what they actually want. All this is programs for like social media. Hey, did you see what we did? Oh, look, ESPN is being so inclusive with their broadcast. Yeah, except no one wants to watch it. Hey, if you want to be a social media hero, go right ahead. But trust me on this, ESPN, this will not bring you any more viewers. I guarantee that. Okay, sorry. Gonna try to stop talking about ESPN. Just keep doing stupid things. Okay, coming back. The football season is nearly here, and there are a number of teams in both college and the NFL that are still trying to find their starting quarterbacks. We're going to discuss some of the coming quarterback controversies, and we're going to try to predict who is going to come out on top of those when we get back. You know, the NFL quarterback position is probably the most difficult position in all sports to play. You have to know what every single player on the field is doing. Plus, you have to know what the defense is trying to do. Plus, you have to avoid the big heavies trying to take your head off. Oh, and by the way, you need to get the snap off in time and make a really, really accurate pass under pressure. And an even competent quarterback can actually transform a team into a contender. Hey, you don't have to be great. Just don't be terrible. You make a good decision with your quarterback, and it just might change your franchise. And on the other side, you make the wrong decision with your quarterback, and it might doom your season before it even starts. There are so many things at play when you pick a quarterback. Is it someone that's going to actually work hard and improve? Is it someone that's going to make the locker room happy? Hey, you can pick a quarterback, but if the locker room hates him, it's going to be tough. You're going to be dragging a lot of dead weight. And you hate to say it, but how do the fans feel about it? And believe me, don't try to make the fans happy, but if the fans are completely against the move you make, it's going to be challenging. The team's going to have to come together and bond and say, hey, we're doing this either way. So today, we are going to be looking at some of the quarterback battles that are going to be coming for a number of teams. And I'm telling you right now, they've got to make the right choice because it can be a huge, huge difference in your season. Now, we're going to start in the NFL. And I'll be honest, not every team we discuss in the NFL has a full-on quarterback controversy. You may hear a team and say, what are you talking about? They have their quarterback set. That doesn't mean that their quarterback situation is completely rectified, though. You'll see what I mean. And let's start off with a team in that exact situation. Because the Miami Dolphins, they don't have a quarterback controversy. They really don't. We know that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be the starter for the Miami Dolphins. Hey, Mike White and Skylar Thompson, they're not exactly going to be a threat to take the job from Tua. Tua is the guy. When he is out there and he is healthy and they protect him, he's been pretty good. The problem is that Tua is always like a stiff wind away from another head injury. And can you imagine if, God forbid, he gets another head injury this season? I mean, they're going to be talking about he might need to end his career. Compound that problem with the fact that the Miami offensive line, it's not great. He's going to be under pressure. And if he's under pressure, I can easily see a way that Mike White and or Skylar Thompson could end up getting playing time this season. Even though there's no controversy in Miami. Yeah, there's a chance for some controversy in Miami. Because Tua's future, it's a little bit sketchy. I hate to say that. I'm kind of pulling for the kid. And yet, he makes me nervous. We have a similar situation in Arizona, where the Cardinals no doubt have their starter in Lil Kyler Murray. But remember that Kyler is coming back from that blown ACL, and that was not a minor blown ACL. Like, he blew that knee bad. Right now, the Cardinals haven't even put out a timetable for Kyler's return. So I would assume we're going to be seeing Colt McCoy or maybe even young Clayton Tune for a good portion of the season, at least early on. But here is where this kind of could get weird. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, do you even want to win games this year? I know. No one goes out and tries to lose, right? But when you look at the talent that Arizona actually has, I mean, honestly, they should be one of the worst teams in the NFL. Well, this year, based on how we think college football could go, the prize for finishing at the bottom of the NFL is probably going to be USC quarterback Caleb Williams. If you are the Arizona Cardinals, how committed are you to Kyler? Hey, you just gave him that big deal. It's going to cost you big, big money to cut him. Yeah, but they might rather have Caleb Williams and cut the loss and say, hey, we're not going to be anchored with that big contract. We'd rather have the young kid. Let Kyler go figure it out. We'll eat the cap. We understand. We'll take the cap hit. But we'd rather have Williams going forward anyways. The Cardinals are going to have kind of a weird quarterback situation this year because I don't even know if they want Kyler Murray to play. They may just hold him out. Arizona is going to be a weird team to watch this year. Okay, so we move to a team that just spent their number 4 overall pick in this most recent draft on Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson. And already in Indianapolis Colts training camp, Anthony Richardson is showing flashes. Dude might legit be special. He has a cannon for an arm. He's 6'5". He's 230. He can do backflips. Hey, he is a freak of nature athletically. AR is the kind of guy that is going to have the fans in Indianapolis so excited to see him get on the field. Here's the problem. He's not ready to be an NFL starter yet. He really isn't. Gardner Minshew is the guy that should be the starter in Indianapolis. He is capable of being an NFL starter. Is he great? Probably not. But he's a better player right now than AR is. But if Minshew struggles, and I mean if he struggles at all, he has to go out and dominate, because if he goes out and they have to punt 2 times in a row, oh, those Indy fans are going to be screaming to see Richardson. And if they have to play Richardson, you're going to have to take my word for it. It might not go that well for the Colts. I have watched this kid play pretty extensively, and he is so good athletically. He says all the right things. He seems like a very smart kid, and he drove me crazy. He has so many physical tools, but he doesn't always make the best decisions on the field. Hey, the Indianapolis Colts need to be hoping that Gardner Minshew takes this job and takes over and never looks back, at least for a season, maybe two. Because if Anthony Richardson is called and he has to play, yeah, the Colts are going to struggle this year. He's going to make some special plays. Don't get me wrong. He's also going to make way more bad ones than good ones. And that isn't going to be fun to watch if you're an Indy fan. We move next to the Green Bay Packers that have to be grateful just to be rid of that arrogant jerk Aaron Rodgers. Hey, they are ready to move on to Jordan Love, who will undoubtedly be the next amazing quarterback in a string of Hall of Famers that they've had up in Green Bay. Except for one thing. Statistically, there's a chance, maybe a very slim chance, Jordan Love might not in fact be the next Patrick Mahomes. I know, that hurts a lot of feelings. There is even a chance that Jordan Love might just be average, or, you know, hold your breath here, below average. I know, that's not fun for Green Bay fans to think about. It really isn't. But when you think about last year with the Green Bay Packers and how horrible Aaron Rodgers was, people were so sick of him. Oh, he's such a jerk. Oh, he's so arrogant. Oh, and he's playing terrible. He threw 26 touchdowns and he had 12 interceptions. And the Packers finished 8-9. What if, and I'm just saying if, what if Jordan Love goes out and he's about the same? 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Wait, what if, oh, I hate to say this, I don't want to jinx anything. What if he's worse? Well, then the Packers might have a controversy. Because if Jordan Love goes out and he's terrible, Packer fans are not going to be happy. They're going to be screaming for anyone else to take over in Green Bay, because they've been used to really good quarterback play over the last few decades. Yeah, going back a while. They're not going to be happy if Jordan Love doesn't look so good. You know, the Houston Texans were called one of the biggest winners of the most recent 2023 NFL draft this past spring. Not only were they able to draft Ohio State quarterback CJ Stroud, but they also traded up and got Alabama linebacker Will Anderson. Those two picks have people down in Houston really, really excited. And now CJ Stroud is expected to be the starter from day one in Houston. And so far, things sound good coming out of training camp. But remember, that's training camp. The regular season will be something completely different. And again, like we've talked about a few of the teams on this list here, the Texans' offensive line is not very good. In fact, you could make a case it's one of the worst in the league. Which means CJ Stroud could get knocked around a little. And if he does, even in the preseason, I fully expect the more veteran, the little more savvy Davis Mills to step in and take the job. In fact, I think in Houston, this is going to end up being a full-on quarterback controversy because I think Stroud will struggle at times. I don't think this team has a lot of talent just yet. And I think at times, Davis Mills is going to look maybe not better, but safer for a team that is just trying to get some stable footing. I expect Mills to outplay Stroud at least early on. And now remember, this decision is going to come to a very young and very brand new head coach in DeMeco Ryans. He's going to have to make a tough choice. Do you go with the young guy? Let him take his lumps and risk breaking him, which we've seen in the past. And we've seen it a lot. A lot of those young guys, they never fully recover. They're getting hit too much. They're getting beat up too much. Think back to guys like David Carr. I mean, I guess you could even make a case for Derek Carr. They're getting injuries. It's piling up. And pretty soon they're getting gun shy and they're kind of broken. Do you risk that or do you just go with Davis Mills and say, hey, we're going to make him sit for a year. We're going to let Mills go out, deal with things. We'll get a little bit better and then we'll let CJ come in. I expect a full quarterback controversy with the Houston Texans this year. And it probably won't last long because Stroud, I think, will eventually be better. But I think we'll have one especially early. The Tennessee Titans, I'm going to put on this list. I don't know if they should really be on this list because veteran Ryan Tannehill, he is the starter, right? Well, except that I feel that he's kind of lost the faith of the entire organization. Remember 2 years ago in the playoffs when they were like a team that could win it all? And he went out and was just terrible and lost the playoff game, throwing 3 interceptions. And I'm just not sure how you get that confidence back. Even if Ryan Tannehill plays amazing in the regular season. And honestly, he should. He's got a few weapons. Remember, they went and got DeAndre Hopkins. He still has big running back Derrick Henry. But let's say that Tannehill goes out and he dominates in the regular season. I don't know that I'll see that happening, but let's say he does. What is everyone going to say? Well, yeah. But can he do it in the playoffs? Just wait until the playoffs. Then we know he's going to nosedive. And I mean, they're not wrong. I totally get it if critics say that. Because how much faith should we have in Ryan Tannehill? Probably not that much. Now, one point in Tannehill's favor is, quite frankly, there's not much behind him. Backup Malik Willis. Last year when he ended up getting playing time when Tannehill went down with an injury, he literally looked like the worst quarterback in the NFL. And while he has another year under his belt, I mean, how much can he really improve? Plus, don't forget, the Titans went out and drafted Kentucky quarterback Will Levis, who's very athletic, who again, kind of like the Anthony Richardson situation, he might get Tennessee fans excited. He's big. He's strong, he's athletic, he can throw the ball a mile. And also, he's in no way ready to take that job. I expect Tannehill to win this by default, but that doesn't mean there won't eventually be controversy for the quarterback position with the Tennessee Titans. Okay, so we arrive at a team that hasn't had controversy, at least in a little while. But remember, Tom Brady is gone, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to have a full-blown quarterback controversy. Now, the Bucs went out and they signed veteran quarterback Baker Mayfield to a 1-year deal this offseason. He needs to go out and prove he still belongs in this league. They do also have third-year quarterback Kyle Trask on the roster. Now, I fully expect Mayfield to win this job. But we all know how Baker Mayfield kind of operates by now, don't we? He looks good for a week, and then he looks terrible for a week, and then he looks good for a week, and then he looks terrible for 2 weeks. Then he says something dumb. Then he has one good game. Then he has 3 bad games. Then he says something dumb again. Hey, it's who he is. He can't just up and change that. It's like asking a tiger, hey, can you just change the stripes that are on your body? No, that's who you are. Now, I fully believe Kyle Trask is probably not as good of a quarterback as Baker Mayfield. I also know Baker Mayfield, he tends to have a good game and then like a bunch of bad games. And when that happens, I could see them bringing Trask in. Will Trask do anything with it? I kind of doubt it, but I think they're going to try to see what they have with the kid. And at some point, I'd be willing to bet he probably will get on the field. Okay, we move to another team that has their quarterback. They are set. They have their guy. There is no controversy here. And they keep saying already in training camp, this guy looks so sharp. He looks so much better than our last guy. Oh man, our last guy was terrible. This guy looks so much better. Here's the problem for the Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo might be looking better right now than Derek Carr ever did, but Jimmy G can never stay healthy. Do you realize that in his entire career, he's had just one single season where he started every single game? That's not great news. Because again, the Raiders' offensive line, remember when that was a strength? Yeah, that's gone to being a weakness a little bit now with the Raiders. They don't have that big, huge, beefy, talented offensive line like they did at least for a little while with Derek Carr. And remember, last year, Derek Carr, a guy who is used to playing in that system, a guy who, let's be honest, has kind of got that gun-shy pocket awareness at this point. He wants to get rid of that ball real, real fast. Remember, last year, he got sacked 27 times in just 15 games. And they're also saying running back Josh Jacobs, there's a chance he might hold out. He wants a better contract. Here's one thing to keep in mind. Brian Hoyer is the backup for the Raiders. He is the backup to Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know why. I don't know what sort of deal with the devil Brian Hoyer made, but I know this. That guy gets on the field. I don't know why. I don't know how he gets on the field, but doesn't it seem like he gets on the field every single year? Is he even good? No, I don't think so. But he always gets on the field. I bet he does again this year. Because I'll bet Jimmy G, at some point, I don't know, statistics say he's probably going to go down at least for a minute. Brian Hoyer is going to get some playing time. We finish up our NFL teams that could end up having a bit of a quarterback controversy, and we land on a team that is so excited right now. Because the Washington Commanders finally got rid of that moron owner, Dan Snyder, and the fans are already coming back in droves to watch their training camp. Have you seen those videos and those pictures? Hey, the fans are back in Washington. They're excited. They're happy. They can't wait. Unfortunately, that excitement might die down when they watch their quarterback play because I don't have a clue what they have. They are saying that Sam Howell is kind of being penciled in as the starter. You might remember, he managed to actually beat the Dallas Cowboys in the final game of the year. Unfortunately, that was kind of a meaningless game. It didn't mean anything to Dallas or to Washington. Can Howell play? I have no idea. But they're saying he's going to be the starter. But once again, we have another career backup on this roster that always seems to get some playing time. No matter where he's at. Doesn't matter where he plays. He gets on the field. Why do I know that Jacoby Brissett is going to be in the starting lineup for Washington at least a few weeks this season? I don't know. He always does. I don't know how he does it. I don't know if he made a deal. I don't know if he has like some information on the owners. I don't know what it is, but Jacoby Brissett always gets on the field. And you know what? I bet he will again this year. He always does. NFL training camps are now underway. And this preseason is going to be fascinating to watch for a number of reasons, not the least of which is going to be who can stay healthy and who's going to outplay who in some of these quarterback battles. But it's not just the NFL that has quarterback battles afoot. College football has a number of them. And I'm not talking about like the lower tiered programs. I'm not talking about Bowling Green or Utah State or any of those. I'm talking about blue blood programs. There are some big time college football programs that have big time expectations and big time aspirations, and they're still not sure who their starter is going to be on day one. let's jump into a few college football battles that are brewing right now. And we start off with the defending back-to-back national champions. But yeah, the Georgia Bulldogs are not fully set on who their starting quarterback is going to be. Remember, Stetson Bennett is gone. And to look at Stetson Bennett, you didn't think he was a big-time quarterback. But all that little dude did was make plays. He just came up with clutch plays when he had to have them. Think of the games they won in the last few minutes because some crazy play Stetson Bennett made. Well, junior redshirt Carson Beck is the odds-on favorite to win the starting job. If you're not aware, he backed up Stetson Bennett last year. And head coach Kirby Smart confirmed last week at SEC Media Days that the job is Carson Beck's to lose. But redshirt sophomore Brock Vandegrift, he's had a very strong preseason. And if Beck stumbles at all, I mean, Vandegrift might end up being the guy. Now, I think Beck's going to win this job. And because the Bulldogs open up with such a soft schedule early on, he should be fine through the first few games. But that will change if Georgia hits any kind of a snag. When they start to face real competition, if Beck is looking like he's not the guy, I expect Kirby Smart to at least see what does Vandegrift have. Hey, if Georgia is going to three-peat, they need one of these guys to make plays like Stetson Bennett did. It's not as easy as people might think it is. Stetson Bennett was a rare, rare quarterback. Really, really good, despite not really looking like a big-time college quarterback. One more blue blood program that is currently trying to find their starting quarterback before we go to break is, believe it or not, yes, back in the SEC, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Remember, Bryce Young is now a member of the Carolina Panthers. Well, of course, the Tide have a few options. Redshirt sophomore Jalen Milroe was supposed to be the guy. He wasn't always impressive, but remember, he was the backup last year. He even had to step in and take some big, big snaps in some big games. Then they had redshirt freshman Ty Simpson. And he's been okay, but not that impressive either. Well, when Notre Dame had Sam Hartman transfer in from Wake Forest, he competed at Notre Dame against a quarterback by the name of Tyler Buckner. Hartman, of course, is now going to be the starter in South Bend. And Buckner left the Irish and went to Tuscaloosa, where he will be playing for new offensive coordinator Tommy Rees, who is, of course, yes, a Notre Dame guy. So Buckner definitely has the inside track on the starting job, but Buckner has also had injury concerns in his past. So the Tide have to hope he stays healthy. And remember, they don't get a ton of time to get up to speed. Alabama plays Texas in the second game of the season. Tyler Buckner had better be ready to go from the start, because if he isn't, you just know Nick Saban will pull him quick and see if he has someone else that can take over that team. Hey, coming back, we have more college football battles to watch this year. And then we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, NFL running backs, they are not very happy right now. They aren't getting those big contracts that they want. And there is even talk that maybe we need to legislate on their behalf with the NFL. But as our Daily Dose Top 5 will show us today, there is a reason that running backs are struggling to make that big money these days. So let's finish up with our college football battles to watch this year. And we have yet another blue blood program that has big expectations. But Ohio State lost quarterback CJ Stroud, and that job is still up for grabs. Junior Kyle McCord was the backup to Stroud. And I mean, you have to consider him the favorite this year, but they're saying he hasn't fully closed the deal just yet, which is kind of crazy because he does get to throw to wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., which seems like that would kind of make his job quite a bit easier. And the crazier thing is that McCord and Harrison were actually high school teammates. They know each other pretty well. You'd think that would be a pretty good combination. But sophomore Devin Brown, he's got some big-time athleticism, and that would give the Buckeyes offense a very different look than it has had in recent seasons. Hey, Stroud wasn't a big runner. Neither is McCord. Unfortunately, Brown has a finger injury that's kind of holding back his progress. And so I think McCord should get this job. But again, remember, the Buckeyes go to South Bend in late September. McCord had better be ready, because the Buckeye faithful will be screaming if they can't beat Notre Dame. We go back to the SEC for another quarterback battle, because new Auburn head coach Hugh Freeze is trying to decide which quarterback he wants to start down on the Plains. The incumbent is redshirt sophomore Robbie Ashford, who is a dual threat. He can pass and he can run. Hey, the job should be his. But remember, Hugh Freeze just got this job. He brought in his own coaching staff. And former Michigan State quarterback Peyton Thorne has transferred into Auburn. Now, Thorne was obviously much better in East Lansing when he had running back Kenneth Walker, but he still managed to lead the Spartans to some wins last year. The problem for Thorne is he's just thrown too many interceptions. He's thrown 21 picks in his last two seasons. But if Peyton Thorne can tone down those picks, I actually think he's going to win the job in Auburn. I think he'll beat out Ashford and take this job. But they got to figure this out by the time they hit that SEC schedule, because we know that's going to get real, real tough. We finish off with, yet another program in the SEC. And it has what should be an incumbent starter. But we also know Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin. Who, by the way, quick side note. Every time I see Lane Kiffin lately, he just looks a little worse. And now he looks like a broken man whose ex-wife has taken him to the cleaners for like every penny he has. And he looks a little drunk. Okay, back to the quarterback battle. Lane loves himself a good quarterback battle. So while Jackson Dart threw for 20 touchdowns last year for the Rebels also got Oklahoma State redshirt senior transfer Spencer Sanders. Sanders has already played four seasons for the Cowboys in Stillwater. He's thrown for over 3,500 yards. He's won 31 games. So while this job should be Jackson Dart's, he's the guy. He's the incumbent. I actually think Sanders ends up taking this job because dude is just a playmaker. And you know, when you think about Ole Miss, when you think about Lane Kiffin, I could totally see him starting Sanders, and then he gets mad at him because he throws a pick, and he goes to Dart, who will throw a pick, and then he'll go back to Sanders. This is going to be fun to watch at Ole Miss all year, because I don't know what's going to be crazier, the quarterback play or Lane Kiffin on the sideline, but it's going to be fun to watch either way. Hey, the college football season is now just over 3 weeks away, and it is going to be full of surprises, just like it is every single year. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like I mentioned before, NFL running backs, they are not a happy bunch right now. The problem for them is that they are struggling to land those big money contracts like they used to. Now, there are a number of reasons they're not getting paid like that anymore. First, with all the spread out offenses, running backs just aren't as important as they used to be, like it or not. Who gets paid more? Quarterbacks, wide receivers, and offensive line. Second, the running back position, it is just so physically challenging because you get hit on every play. Even if you don't get the ball, you either got to block, you go out into the pass pattern, you get hit, you have to block again. If somebody catches it downfield, you're getting hit on every single play. And as a result, when running backs arrive in the league, remember they have that max rookie salary cap. They can make a certain amount. That's it. And most of them never even get to that second contract where they make big money, or to that third contract where they really make big money. No one's going to pay an older running back. I'm not giving you that big, huge contract. There's no way. Teams look at these guys, and instead of saying, hey, this guy has 7,000 yards in five seasons, let's give him some more big money, they go, that guy already has 7,000 miles on him. I'm not paying him. We'll just go ahead and go get another rookie who can take over for him, and we'll pay him the rookie deal. Well, running backs aren't happy about it. In fact, they held a conference call to try to come up with some ideas for how they can get paid better. There has been talk of allowing running backs to go to the NFL a year earlier out of college. I don't think that works. They have mentioned that running backs should be eligible for higher rookie deals. I don't know if that works either. I'm not sure if any of these ideas are actually going to help, but I would bet that the NFL Players Union will do their best to try to do something. The fact is this, running backs break down. They become less productive. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is going to count down the best seasons ever by older running backs. You'll have to trust me on this. There's not that many of them. We start off our list at number 5. And we go back to the year 2009. Now, back in the day, Ricky Williams had been a can't-miss prospect when he came out of the University of Texas. He had been drafted by the New Orleans Saints. They had paid a huge price. He had some good years there. And then he was traded to the Miami Dolphins. But Ricky decided he would retire from football after violating the NFL drug policy a number of times. He took a year off. He talked about it. And he relaxed a little bit, but decided that he wanted to rejoin football. And so he went to the Canadian Football League, where he played for the Toronto Argonauts. He would eventually get back to the NFL, where he suited up for the Miami Dolphins again in 2007. He had some decent seasons. In fact, in 2009, at the age of 32, Ricky Williams rushed for 1,121 yards. He caught passes for 264 yards, and he scored 13 total touchdowns. Now, Ricky would eventually finish his NFL career with the Baltimore Ravens. But that 2009 season, by then, 32-year-old Ricky Williams comes in today on our list at number 5. I will say this. He's the youngest guy that's going to make our list today. So we move on to number 4. And we reach a guy that somehow did kind of find a way to age pretty gracefully, well, at least for 1 year. Adrian Peterson was another highly rated running back coming out of Oklahoma. He played 10 very productive seasons while with the Minnesota Vikings, including a year in 2012 where he was named the league's most valuable player. Unfortunately, we know AD ran into some child abuse accusations. He spent some time on the shelf being suspended. But in 2017, he would leave Minnesota and he signed a 2-year deal with the New Orleans Saints. He wasn't getting much playing time. So he bounced over to Arizona, played briefly with the Cardinals, had some injuries. Again, not getting much playing time. Now he's getting older. In 2018, Adrian Peterson signed a league minimum contract with Washington. He was now 33 years old. And obviously, his best days were behind him. But Peterson wanted to prove everybody wrong, and he kind of did, at least for one season. At the age of 33, Adrian Peterson ran for 1,042 yards. He scored 8 touchdowns. Pretty solid year for a 33-year-old. He comes in today at number 4. So we land at number 3, and we go back to the guy that actually did rewrite the NFL rushing history books. But for our list today, Emmitt Smith wasn't even a member of his longtime team, the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, Smith had huge seasons with the Cowboys. He played 13 years in Big D. He racked up over 17,000 yards there. But in 2003, Emmitt left Dallas and actually played his final 2 seasons with the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, kind of seemed weird to see him in that red. His first season was a little rough. He suffered through some injuries. He missed some significant time. But in 2004, at the age of 35, Emmitt Smith rushed for 937 yards. He scored 9 touchdowns. He also had 212 receiving yards. Following the season, Emmitt would announce his retirement from football. But he did actually go out with a pretty solid year, despite no longer being a member of the Cowboys. Of course, Emmitt Smith is the leading rusher in NFL history. And with the challenges that running backs are facing today, it's kind of hard to see anyone breaking that record anytime soon if ever. Emmett Smith comes in today at number 3. So we move to number 2 on our list of older running backs that had great seasons. And we have one here at number 2 that is a bit of an odd case. First off, he is the oldest back on our list today. Second, his numbers are a little bit deceptive, but there's no question he belongs on this list. Coming out of the University of Southern California, Marcus Allen was such a versatile running back. He could do it all. He could run. He could block. He could catch. He could even pass. He was drafted by the Los Angeles Raiders, and he actually was named Super Bowl MVP when the Raiders won Super Bowl 18 back in 1984. But he would end up having to share playing time with Bo Jackson. And then he had a contract dispute with owner Al Davis. Davis actually got mad, and he told his coaching staff, "Don't play Marcus. Just make him sit the bench." And he did. He sat the bench for a few years with the Raiders. He would eventually leave that franchise and join their rival, the Kansas City Chiefs. And because of that lack of mileage on him, he was actually able to string together some pretty decent seasons with the Chiefs. In 1995, at the age of 37, Marcus Allen rushed for 505 yards. Okay, I admit that's not a huge number. I understand. But if you knew Marcus Allen, you knew that he had a gift for one thing. Dude knew how to make the tough yards when they were needed. So he only had 500 yards. Yeah, but Marcus Allen scored 11 touchdowns at the age of 37. When the Chiefs got near the goal line or even near the first down markers, they gave the ball to a 37-year-old running back, and he hit pay dirt quite a few times. Marcus Allen, at 37 years of age, comes in today on our list at number 2. So we reach the number 1 older running back that had a highly productive season. And to me, this one is our number 1 entry pretty easily. He played a number of seasons with the New York Jets. Then he joined the Washington Redskins as a free agent. And he was kind of a goofy guy. He actually sat out the entire 1980 season in a contract dispute. Do you know what he wanted? More money? No. A new car? No. A longer term to his deal? No. John Riggins simply wanted them to put in a no trade clause. So they finally wrote it in, and he joined the squad, and he actually put up some really big seasons in his latter years. In 1982, John Riggins led Washington to the Super Bowl, and he was named that game's MVP when they beat the Miami Dolphins in Super Bowl 17. Then, in 1983, at the age of 34, Riggins ran for over 1,300 yards and scored an incredible 24 touchdowns. It was his best year as a pro at 34. Pretty impressive. Washington actually went back to the Super Bowl that year, but they fell short against the Raiders. Here's what's even more amazing. The next year, he followed that with another big season. In 1984, John Riggins ran for over 1,200 yards and scored another 14 touchdowns. And that was at the age of 35. Of course, it did help that he was running behind those hogs. One of the greatest offensive lines in NFL history while he was in Washington. But hey, make no mistake, John Riggins had some great seasons at an older age. You know, the one thing I notice about all the running backs on this list today is that they all have one thing in common. They took some time off, whether it was due to injury or a contract holdout or smoking weed or punching their kid. They all spent some time on the shelf, and that may have been what helped them a little bit later. Hey, running backs break down. It is just a drawback to such a physical job. You know, the running backs are trying to figure out, how do we legislate a way for us to make more money? And honestly, I don't know what that solution would be. Unfortunately, just as the game has changed for like big hitting safeties, the league has also changed for running backs that have teams built around them. Those days, at least right now, seem to be over. They don't look to be coming back anytime soon. Maybe a team will come along that will change things up. They will try to bring that style back, and they will say, we are going to build our franchise around our running back. But right now, it's kind of looking like franchise running backs are going the way of the Dodo or the Edsel. That could change, but right now, I don't know that there's much that NFL running backs can do. You're just going to have to go out there and try to produce while you can, get that money while you can, and you might have to save some of it too. Hey, next week on The Dose, we are chasing a few things, but either way, we're going to continue to ramp up for the coming football season, and of course, we will be bringing you the latest in sports as only we can. So be sure you tune into The Dose, and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the text. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com every week and checking out the new things going up over there. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for sharing the videos. Thank you for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Go play intramurals, brother. Go play intramurals.